do it.
Thanks, bye.
All right, so our passage will be Psalm 63. We called it Leaving the Wilderness. Basically, with the wilderness, we'll see it's a place for growth. We'll actually touch on some of these subjects here in a minute. First, we want to just kind of get you thinking. Have you ever felt a time where you were in the wilderness? It could be spiritually. Things like, you know, work, it gets kind of busy, it gets hectic. Kids playing sports, you know, have you felt just kind of alone, broken, heat, you know, things like that to yourself? That's basically where David is in this passage, and you'll see it. The preface to this actual passage states that it's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. We don't know which time he was in the wilderness in this this place, because there's been a couple occasions that David was there. First being in 1 Samuel 23, verse 14 and 15, it says, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, and God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood." So here you also see that he's in the wilderness and Saul's trying to kill him. Something that's I personally would not want to have happen. But this one to me is even worse, because this is his own son trying to kill him, Absalom. That's in 2 Samuel 15. I have two different verses here. You have, "And David said unto all his servants that were with him in Jerusalem, Arise and let us flee. For we shall not else escape Absalom. Make speed and depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And then 28, we drop down and says, "See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me." So when we're in the wilderness, I mean, I know personally I've never had somebody trying to kill me. So that's pretty nice to have personally. But when you are in the wilderness, you know, you do feel alone, hot. It's, you know, he's actually there physically, but in spiritually, you know, we may feel kind of alone, but God's still there with us. You can also see, sorry, give me a second here. If you can't tell, I'm a little nervous. First time ever being in front of a large group, so yeah. Yeah, but anyway, personally, of something that where I felt kind of in a wilderness, you know, with spiritually, was when my grandpa had passed away. My grandpa Barr, he was one of my best friends, and he was definitely somebody that helped guide me through my life with my walk with Christ. And when he passed, it was kind of like, oh no, what am I going to do here, you know? And but then I actually started being discipled and went through, and then now going through MTT, and God's been bringing me through that, and being up here in front of people. If you'd have told me then, that's where I'd be. God, I'd call you crazy. But the passage we're going to go into is Psalm 63. If you guys want to turn your Bibles there, we'll catch that up here in a second. So if you don't have your Bible or tablet or anything like that, I have it up here too. So, but we're going to read the entire passage before we dig any further. We'll start with verse 1. It says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied in marrow fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee, thy right hand doth uphold me." The first thing we'll see here is our problem. You'll see this in verse 1 and 2. It says, again, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee." That's going to be one of our problems. And then, "My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary." So the first one we'll see is we're also thirsty. Again, when we're in the wilderness, it's dry, it's weary, there's no water there. David's voicing this, you know, he's in the desert, and it's not fun, but he's still looking to God, as that's who he's thirsty for. You'll see that that's... Sorry. That's where God teaches you, is in the wilderness. We'll touch on this again in a minute, but I'm just going to go to the next point. He also wants to see the power and his glory. He voices that's where he sees it in the sanctuary. The sanctuary in the time of Israel was where God dwelt. Exodus 25:8 actually says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." So the good thing about that is now is we don't have to go to a building. We don't have to go someplace to see God's power and his glory. We can see it on a daily basis. We're his temple now. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So, you know, we don't have to go somewhere and see, you know, I saw God there, or I saw God there. We can just see him in our everyday life if we're digging into his word. That's really what we need to satisfy ourselves. So that's actually my next point, too, is our satisfaction. In verses 3 through 6, you see, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate thee and on thee in the night watches." So our satisfaction is, you see, because God's loving kindness is better than life. We'll actually praise him. We'll bless him. We'll sing unto him. My favorite passage of seeing something of kind of what that looks like, David, is in 1 Chronicles 16, verses. I actually have quite a few here, so I'm just going to run through each of them. But David's actually just giving thanks, and worshiping God. You see, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth." You also see, if you drop down a little bit further, verse 23 through 25, and it says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods." And then another verse down says, "Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship of the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." For me, like, this just spells out worship and praise and blessing. You know, it's David's heart of, you know, give God everything. And Wayne will actually be talking about worship in a couple weeks, so he'll dive in a little further than what I want to go. I don't want to take his thunder, so I'll go on from the next point. But it's verse 5 of Psalm 63 again. You see, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." I don't really talk in old English, but marrow and fatness is just other words for food. So he's being satisfied with food, but it's not necessarily physical food. You know, he's in the wilderness. There's not exactly, you know, a giant eagle across the street or anything. So he's actually having, you know, the food of God's word. And Jesus was tempted in the wilderness as well. So again, it's not a bad place to be, but it's not something you want to be there forever. You'll see in Matthew 4, it says, "And Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came unto him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So it's not physical food that will satisfy us, or anything in this world that's going to satisfy us. It's truly by God's word. That's what proceeds out of his mouth. And it's John 1:1, you know, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. So that's his word. You know, that's what's going to satisfy us. We also see in throughout this entire passage, it's our meditation is on God, and it's at all times. I mean, verse 6, it says, when I remember upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So you saw in verse 1, it says, early will I seek thee. You see about it, his word being food. So it's, you know, I'm a little bit bigger than most people, so I like to eat, you know. So if we eat a lot and we meditate when we're on him, when we're eating, you know, that's going to be something that we're going through. Here it says, remember thee upon my bed and meditate in the night watches. So it's early, it's all day, it's, you know, evening. It's we're talking with MTT about the cow chewing the cud, you know, with when he chews, he just keeps eating it, and, you know, not to get all gross, but, you know, throws it up and beats it again. And it's just getting all the nutrients you can out of his word. And and that's really the thing that's going to satisfy us is God's word. And the other will be our focus. It will actually shift, because if we're in God's word, we're going to have his mind. And our focus will be on verse 7 and 8. It says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of the wings will I rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand hath upholdeth me. Because he's been our help, we're going to be in the shadow of his wings. So I know for myself, there's way too many times to count for how many times God's helped me and my family. I'll give an example. Zayden has asthma, and he has some stomach problems and allergies, and he takes about 5 medicines a day, some a couple times a day, and they can be kind of expensive, in all honesty. But especially in the beginning of the year, before you hit deductibles and all that kind of stuff. Last year, about March, we had given him his inhaler in the morning. We didn't realize how low we were. It was actually his last puff for that inhaler. And we didn't get paid again until that Friday. It was like a Tuesday. So, I mean, yeah, it's not exactly made of money. I'm not going to have, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go fork out this couple $100 to go get it fixed and go get some more medicine. And but I called Sarah and said, hey, you know, we need to call his inhaler in. It's out. So knowing I didn't have the money, I don't like to ask for money either. So we just kept praying, you know, and just prayed that God would help us, because it would be the only thing that was going to happen. So we just prayed, and I didn't know we had a health savings account at the time. My insurance had just kind of flipped over. So Sarah came home from work that day, and there was a check in the mail from our health savings account for reimbursement of what his inhaler would have been. I mean, we knew it was a God thing. I mean, there was no way it was anything else but God. And it was something that just, I mean, Sarah and I just rejoiced, and we're just beyond happy, you know, grinning to ear to ear, because it was a God thing. It wasn't, you know, a family member trying to bail us out. It wasn't anybody just, you know, nobody knew the situation, so except for God and us. So it was cool to see that he got his medicine, and, I mean, it was cool, you know, to see another example of where God provided for us. Not to be like, you know, God's going to give you all this money in the world or anything like that. It's not that at all. It's he helped us in a time of need, you know. And because he's helped us, I mean, it's one of those things that Sarah and I have had the attitude of, you know, okay, God, whatever you want us to do, you know, we will do. Whether it's, you know, getting up here in front of a group of people and being scared for my life of that. Not that anybody's going to hurt me, but I'm not a group person, you know. So, or it's going, you know, wherever he wants us to go. If he wants us to, you know, go across the world, we'll do it. If he wants us to stay here, we'll do it. We just want to follow him. In doing so, that's what our focus will be. It'll be to follow him. Ronnie talked last week, Psalm 51:13. You see the, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. If we're following him, that's going to be our heart. That's going to be our mindset of, we want to teach others about him. We want others to come to know him. will do the Great Commission, you know, Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Also, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Again, if we're following God, that's what we're going to do, is teach the nations. We're going to do, you know, go wherever he wants us to go. If it's go across the street and talk to our neighbor, that's what we're going to do, because that's going to be our focus. Also verse 8, it was, I believe, double check that, sorry. Nope, verse 7 says, because thou hast been my help, in the shadow of thy wings. Where is that? Sorry. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of the wings will I rejoice. So if we're following him, we'll be in his shadow. You know, if when the light comes through, it's, you know, it casts a shadow behind him. So that's what we'll do, is we'll follow him wherever he goes. So also in the wilderness, it's where growth happens. It's where we have trials and temptations. As we saw before, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. The nation of Israel wandered in 40 years. Job had his trials in the wilderness, and Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers in the wilderness before his brothers sold him into slavery. I moved my conclusion before that, and I apologize. But Genesis 37:22-27 actually shows where Joseph was thrown into slavery. It says, and Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast them into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of the coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down and eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came in, Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it will we slay our brother and seal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. So his brother sold him to slavery, and most of us know the story of Joseph. He was here, thrown into slavery by his brothers. He became second in Potiphar's house, you know, wrongfully accused of a crime he didn't commit, thrown into prison, you know, helped a couple of people out of prison, was still forgotten about. Then once somebody remembered him, you know, he became the second in command in all of Egypt and stopped people from perishing. So there's 7 years of drought. 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of drought, and he helped the entire world go from that. So that's what Satan wanted to destroy him, and, you know, God kept setting him up because he just kept doing right. Also in the wilderness is right after Jesus had came out of there, is actually where he started his earthly ministry. And it's Matthew 4:17-20 is where he says, from that time, right outside of, you know, the wilderness, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. So, again, the attitude of following him wherever he goes, you see right here, it's, you know, Jesus said, follow me. And they didn't, you know, ho-hum around it. They didn't wait, you know, they straightway left their nets and followed him. So, Job, as I said, he was in the wilderness. He was in the wilderness. Wilderness is what actually knocked down the wind. But you see, verse 18 and 19, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So, it's a trial. Job had everything, and then it seemed like everything came crashing down, you know. God let it happen because, you know, he knew Job would prevail on that, that it didn't matter what he was going through. He knew Job would come out ahead. And actually, in the end of it, Job 42, you see, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And then he goes through and just mentions everything that he had. It says, and he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, so even more than he had before. But again, it's where growth happens. We have to go through the wilderness in order to be brought up and grow in him. That's really the biggest thing that, you know, learning the passage and reading through it and, you know, getting nervous about teaching. It was, you know, God was teaching me too, you know. We go through those times to, you know, have that outcome at the end. End up being, you know, a lot of these became leaders outside of that. I also go back to the 40 years in the wilderness of Israel. You know, it seemed like it was a ridiculously long time, but it still came out with good because Joshua came out of that and became a leader through that. So it's, you know, don't be scared of the wilderness. Don't be scared of what it has. We just need to have that mindset of, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? What am I supposed to learn here? And then having that right attitude of, you know, learning from you and also following him afterwards to thirst for his word. And that's where I have is the some challenges is the what can you teach me? Can we ask ourselves, are we thirsting for God? Are we looking to see his glory and power? Is our soul satisfied digging into his word? Are we meditating with seeking him all throughout our day? Also, where is our focus? Is our directed in a way that we can truly say, okay, God, whatever, wherever, whenever, however you want. And then also, are we trying to preach the gospel to every creature? That's, I mean, something that he taught me was, you know, don't be afraid to go through, you know, I got you. And again, it was a tough time when my grandpa passed away, but I know I'm pretty happy where, you know, God's been leading me, and just thankful for, you know, this body that is willing to help me be stretched by him. So at your tables, we have some questions there, and then Matt will dismiss us. So cool. Thanks.